We're going to consider again the work of Christ under his function as our priest. And again, we're going to look at the biblical foundation of what we confess about Christ in the larger catechism. Question 44 says, how doth Christ execute the office of a priest? Christ executeth the office of a priest in his once offering himself a sacrifice without spot to God, to be a reconciliation for the sins of his people, and in making continual intercession for them. And that last phrase is what we're going to consider tonight under the subject of that we're never alone in Christ, and that's what Christ's intercession teaches us. If you want to look in the back of your bulletin, you'll find an outline. I really tried to give fill in the blanks, but it appears that I made a minor mistake and gave you the answers. So all of you who like really are struggling to get the blanks, get the answers to the fill in the blanks, at least tonight you can go with yourself with a higher view of yourself, and I can't remember what that's called. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's just psychological silliness. But there is an outline on the back of the bulletin. We're going to look at three passages in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews talks a lot about the incarnation of Christ, but another thing it talks a lot about is the priestly work of Christ. And we see the intercession of Christ tied to his nature as man and God and the only begotten Son of God put together in several places. So I want you to listen first as I read Hebrews 2, verses 17 and 18, self-esteem. There we go. Now you can all have a good self-esteem, especially if you can find Hebrews 2, 17. Therefore, Christ had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And then look at verses 14 through 16 of chapter 4. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Let us pray. Father, we do seek your face, and we ask that your Spirit might open your word to us tonight, that we might understand Christ and see him in his glory more clearly and be comforted in your eternal, enduring love for us in your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, there are times in life when we feel very much alone. One of those times for me is when I'm out in the woods and it's dark, and for some reason everyone else is in the tent. I'm out by myself and have to find my way back, and it just feels so lonely in the dark in the mountains with the clear sky. And it's easy to feel small. Sometimes as it gets darker and darker, it's easy to feel very much alone. You know, though, it happens in everyday circumstances as well. As you're wheeled away from your family to the operating room, no one else can go in there with you, and you have to say goodbye. and leave by yourself for the surgery. Sometimes at night, when everyone else falls asleep before you, even though your wife or husband may be next to you, you're left alone to think about your lives and the pain or trials that we're facing all alone. When everyone else is gone, everyone else around you is gone, when no one else has seemed to face what you are experiencing, when you're left alone before God, you do not have to be alone. You need to realize you don't have to feel alone. Because if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are never alone in Christ. In Hebrews, the apostle wrote much about the priesthood of Christ and the comfort that we who are believers should find in Jesus Christ. Jesus is offered to us as a whole person in the gospel. Knowing Christ as Savior, it results in wonderful benefits that we talk about and study and meditate upon. Benefits like justification and adoption and sanctification and glorification. And we can go on and on. But the problem is, if you separate these benefits from the person of Christ, you can end up with a cold and a lonely faith. See, God calls us to trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's because God relates to us through Jesus Christ. He relates to us through Christ, our representative. And so when we are united to him by faith, Jesus secures our salvation with his work. He preserves our souls with his power. He opens our eyes to know him with his Spirit. And all of these things are part of Christ's work as high priest. You need to believe that Jesus Christ, the God-man, serves now as your high priest. And he cares for us, and he preserves us with his intercession for us. And so I want you to consider tonight how Christ ministers to us from heaven so that you might have a greater comfort and confidence that you are never alone in Christ. I want to consider our first point, that Christ, our high priest, gives us assurance of salvation through his intercession. You see, salvation requires that God's justice be paid for our sin. The wages of sin is death. And so Christ came in the flesh to offer himself as our sacrifice. In other words, he is our substitute before the wrath and justice of God. In other words, he died for the payment of our sins. But you know, a sacrifice alone does not reconcile us to God. More has to be done with the blood that is spilled. You see, after a priest offers the sacrifice, the priest then must intercede for us. And therefore, it's helpful to see the ministry of the Old Testament priest, because the Old Testament priest teaches us what was necessary to complete the sacrifice and reconcile us to God. In the scriptures, we learn that the high priest would confess the sins of God's people to God. He would intercede for them or pray, confessing their sins and asking for forgiveness. And then the high priest would pass through into the holy place of the tabernacle and temple, and then he would pass through the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the people of God. And he would pass through that veil carrying the blood of atonement in his hands. And then the priest would present the blood as a payment for Israel's sin, and he would present it to God by placing the blood on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this mercy seat, it was on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and it was actually God's throne in the midst of Israel. And actually, when you think about it, the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat was really the throne of grace, because we see God's grace for sinners as the blood of atonement is covered over Israel so that God might dwell among us and among them and hear their prayers and care for them. Well, that's the work of the Old Testament priest and the history of Israel. It was to teach us the nature of Christ's ministry. And so now look at Hebrews 4:14. The apostle wrote, "Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith," or let us embrace it and not turn away from our confession, our confidence in the gospel, our belief in Christ as he's offered to us. And you know, right here, the apostle teaches us to look at the high priest to understand Christ's ministry of intercession, but to realize that Jesus is much better than the Old Testament high priest. You see, Jesus, our priest, intercedes for us, not just in the Holy of Holies of the temple, like the high priest did in the Old Testament, but in the very presence of God. You see, Jesus ascended up into heaven. In other words, to use the apostles' language, he passed through the heavens, through the sky, and through space. Not just the veil of the temple, but he passed through the heavens into the true sanctuary and holy of holies of God. Jesus Christ, our high priest, has secured our salvation and done it by interceding for us with his own blood in the very presence of God. And so we are not alone. We're not alone to deal with God on our own. Rather, Christ Jesus has interceded for us with his own blood. But you know, there's even something better here. Christ will never stop interceding for us. Look at chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Christ holds his priesthood permanently. You see the contrast that the apostle's making between the Aaronic priest and Jesus, the true priest. He holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. And consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost, or at all times, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now, Hebrews 5:9 it makes more sense, where Jesus said, where the apostle wrote that Jesus became the source of eternal salvation. Why? It's because Jesus will never die. And since Jesus will never die, he will never stop interceding for us. And so if you see God through Jesus Christ, what you have in Christ is eternal salvation. And he secures your salvation by his constant intercession. So maybe it makes sense why we've been focusing over and over again this past month on assurance of salvation, because Christ, the person, is offered to us that we might trust in him to save us and to do everything necessary to reconcile us to God. And that trust and that work of Christ, it doesn't end and didn't end at the cross, but it goes on for eternity because he constantly makes intercession for us with his blood. You may struggle to believe that you are truly saved, and when you sin, you might wonder if your hope of salvation is gone. But you need to know these doubts are not necessary. You might even say they're not even legitimate doubts if you look to Jesus Christ in faith, because Christ is able to save always because he lives forever. He's not like the Aaronic priest who you might have known in the Old Testament church that would die one day, and you have to get to know another priest, and what if the new guy doesn't care about you? Jesus lives forever. And so when you fall and sin, remember you're never alone. Christ will always present his blood to the Father, saying, "No, this one is forgiven because I died for his sins. This one is forgiven because I died for her sin." The intercession of Christ ensures and guarantees that we are forgiven. If you think about our doctrine of justification through faith, it is real. You are truly righteous, just as we confess about justification, because Christ lives to intercede for us when we sin. And so when you believe that Christ lives and serves as your priest to God, you can be confident that you are saved because you are in the hands of Christ. This assurance is not based on the strength of your faith at all. The smallest fiber of faith in Christ results in eternal life because you trust in Jesus, the Son of God, who saves us. Our assurance, our salvation is real because Christ intercedes for us to God. So our first point is that Christ gives us assurance of salvation because he serves as our priest and intercedes for us. And second, I want you to consider Christ gives us sympathy. You know, all this talk about Jesus, and specifically Jesus being in heaven, might leave you saying, but I am here on earth. Why do I care so much that Jesus is in heaven when I am here on earth? I am dealing with my own sickness. I am dealing with my trials. They're all here right before me. You may think that Jesus has no idea how hard your life is because he's in the very presence of God right now. You know, there's a reality TV show that sort of addresses these questions and these doubts and concerns in our hearts on a lower level, a level that we can relate to in our society. It's called Undercover Boss. And this show kind of reflects these doubts. And I think we can understand these things. I've had several jobs, and it seems like in every job the same thing happens. Employees in the bottom ranks of a company, they get frustrated. Why? Because their executives, because their managers don't seem to know what they really go through. It seems like sometimes the executives probably don't even care about them. Well, in this reality TV show, an executive of a company, this boss goes undercover without his identity, and he works in the very bottom ranks of a big company. And there, he learns to sympathize with his employees in a new way as he does the grunt jobs, as he does the painful jobs, as he does the bread and butter jobs that are so easy to forget. You know, when you struggle in life, do you often think, like so many employers do, on a cosmic level, God doesn't understand how hard it is for me. God doesn't know the cost I've been paying just to obey him. God doesn't understand. He doesn't get my loneliness. He doesn't know my pain. But I want to declare to you, with the authority of Christ and the Word, God does understand you. And Christ gives you sympathy. The letter to the Hebrews emphasizes how well Christ understands us. If you're ever asked, where do you go to learn about the humanity of Christ, and you're stuck, just say the book of Hebrews, and you'll get a gold star. So just think about what the apostle wrote in Hebrews. Hebrews 2:17. In this passage, we learn that Christ was made like us in every way. And that's a short way of saying the Son of God came in the flesh with a real body and a real soul. He took on our nature. He had a soul that experienced real pain and sorrow and disappointment. He had a real body that knew true hunger in his stomach and thirst in his mouth and pain in his heart and exhaustion and even death. And then the apostle went on to write, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus wasn't a spoiled rich kid who never experienced real life, but then gets put over us to rule us. Rather, Jesus came near to us, so near that he actually took on our human nature. And in that, in the incarnation, Jesus was tempted like we are tempted. But unlike us, Jesus never sinned. Now, it's hard to understand how the God-man could be tempted like us from our limited perspective. But hopefully, having considered the as we call it, the hypostatic union of Christ, the two wills of Christ, the very nature of Christ, where we see that although Christ was not corrupted by sin as a human, he faced the same temptations and struggles we have. Although we can't fully understand how the holy, righteous God who's in the flesh can be tempted, the apostle makes a strong point. He wants us to believe that Jesus was a real human like us, and he didn't have it easy. He faced the same temptations that we face, but yet he triumphed over them. Just think about it. In Matthew 4, Satan tempted Jesus after Jesus had fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. In Matthew 27, the chief priests and the elders mocked Jesus with the temptation to cry out to the angels that they might rescue him from the cross. But Jesus stood up under every temptation because his will was constrained by the righteousness and the justice of God. Jesus, the God-man, did what we were created to do, but we failed. And so do you think that you're alone? Do you think that God doesn't understand you? He doesn't know how to answer your prayer and help? You need to understand you're not alone. Jesus understands the suffering we face. Jesus knows the pain of obedience and isolation and rejection. He has sympathy because he has been in your shoes and yet without sin. Actually, when we try to question why, how could Jesus really be tempted in every way as we are, we need to understand that we fall so easily. But Jesus endured temptation to the very end. He bore greater suffering than we bear, especially as he bore the wrath of God upon his body and the soul for the sin of all God's people. So we need to find hope in Jesus Christ, our high priest. He's not someone that's distant from us. He understands us. He knows us. He understands and knows what we experience. And because of that, because he came in the flesh, he is able to help us. You know, Paul comforted us with these words in 1 Corinthians 10:13, saying that God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You see, Jesus knows what you need. He came in the flesh to die as your sacrifice and to be near to you so that he might truly help you. So don't feel like you were alone in your struggle with sin. Jesus understands your temptation. Jesus Christ gives us sympathy. We have a high priest who's been in our shoes and knows how to sympathize with us, knows how hard this life is, and therefore knows how to intercede for us to the Father. And I'd like to consider our third point, really an implication for our lives as we consider the intercession of Christ and how Christ as our priest gives us assurance of salvation, how Christ gives us sympathy. Knowing the true Christ, receiving him, should give us also boldness. The intercession of Christ should transform our hearts, giving us boldness, as the apostle wrote in chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." You see, as you read the Old Testament accounts of of worship in the tabernacle and temple when the high priest came out of the Holy of Holies, having sprinkled the blood of atonement on the mercy seat, and the Shekinah glory of God descended to dwell among God's people, there was rejoicing. There was confidence to go to God with a propitious relationship now and pray, Abba, Father. And so you see, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, who now intercedes for you, having offered himself as the sacrifice for your sin, having interceded on behalf of his obedience and his blood for your salvation, God's throne should have a whole new meaning. God's throne should not frighten you any longer if you call upon Christ, because Christ intercedes for us. He's made God propitious toward us with his blood. In other words, what God has done is fully satisfied the white hot wrath toward our sin, so that now we are called friends of God and sons of God. And because Christ has interceded for us, we can boldly come to God in prayer and know that God now looks to us as a father who longs to care for his children. We can now seek mercy and forgiveness for our sins because of Christ's sacrifice, praying, Father, forgive me, and knowing that he will because he's already paid for our sin. We can seek grace to help us in any time that we need it. You'll see some diversity in translation in Hebrews 7:25, where it says, consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God. It also could be translated at all times, and I think the translators are trying to communicate the idea of this somewhat ambiguous phrase. But I think one thing that you should understand is, at any time you're in need, at any time that you need comfort, forgiveness, or you need help to persevere whatever is before you, Jesus Christ is interceding for you, living to help you. And so we should all have confidence that our prayers will be heard and answered. We are not alone. We are not alone because Jesus serves as our high priest to God. And so here is the question that we all must ask ourselves. Why don't we pray more? If Christ intercedes for you and lives forever in God's Holy of Holies, why do we hesitate to seek God's help in mercy and grace? You see, Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Jesus Christ should break this pattern in our lives because he lives. He will not give up on us because he has secured our salvation with his blood. He lived here as a real human so that he could help us in our time of need. And he lives and reigns eternally as the anointed priest who intercedes for us, who appeals for mercy and grace, and he knows exactly what you need. So don't doubt that God loves you because Jesus lives. And don't hesitate to pray because Jesus lives to intercede for you, so that you can know that you are never, ever alone in Christ. Let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come to you because of our Savior, your Son, who intercedes for us. We pray for faith, for understanding, that we might apprehend the length and width and height and depth of the love you have for us. Father, teach us to grab hold of Christ more and more in all of our lives. And Father, pour out your grace upon us. We confess our lives are difficult, and yes, they're difficult in many ways because of our sin. And so, Father, forgive us our sin and put to death our sin. Make us more like Christ. In him, Lord, we long to have his nature, his image made more manifest in us, that we might live to righteousness, knowing that that Christ has raised us from death and our sin to righteousness, to seek you. Father, we long for your Spirit to work in us. Sanctification, please hear us because of Jesus, our high priest. Father, we ask that you might call your elect from every corner, even the deepest, darkest corners of this world. Call your elect to saving faith, to salvation, to know Jesus, your Son, as the gospel is proclaimed. Cause that call to go loud and clear with your power to every corner of our church, to our children who have not believed yet and embraced Christ as their Savior, to the people who worship with us and are not believers, to those who are turning in apostasy away from you. Father, you sent your Son in the flesh to save your people, so we beg you, call your people, build up your people, secure your people with his blood. Give us grace to persevere to the very end. Lord, build us up as a church that we might bear witness to your grace as we bear the name of Christ. Make us bold to share the good news of Christ in the way we live and with every word that comes out of our mouths, to one another, encouraging each other in the faith to look up to Christ when doubting and discouraged, but also to our neighbors and friends and family. Lord, you are a gracious God, and your Son is an amazing Savior. Make his kingdom more manifest in our lives. We ask this in his glorious name, with confidence that you hear us as he intercedes, having covered our sin with his blood. Amen.